Welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, fire everybody.
That was a kick in the gut, wasn't it?
It's just like, obviously I made a life choice to move out here to Texas. So part of this, most of this is just on me anyway, but staying up till midnight before I even start work, by the way, and having part of that work night be overtime on a Monday night against the Washington bleeping Wizards. Like, come on, man.
Wizards are playing well right now. This is
sure
in a row, but yeah.
It's like, it's always, well, they've won five in a row, so that's good for anybody, but it's always like relative, right? Wizards are playing good right now. They've won.
Yeah,
five,
they're playing good
games
for the Wizards, right? But we're like the worst version of the Lakers right now. That's why I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a good, like, we better bring it tonight if we want to." And we did for the most part.
Like,
and
did.
We slipped. They did, but they couldn't sustain it. That's part of the, like, the whole idea of like flipping the switch is it's the ability to sustain it for 48 minutes. Building those habits is something in and of itself. So they came out playing great, right? And they really had a lot of energy. They rotated on defense. They got out in transition. Mm-hmm. And then in that third quarter, man, like they didn't have that same energy. They thought that they had the game under control and they let it slip away. Beal and Westbrook, you know, Beal especially is made some incredible shots in that overtime. And you can't, like, we fucked around and lost this game, right? And we mm-hmm. made a few mistakes along the way. This is a winnable game, and I thought it was one that we needed to get, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, so in tonight's show, we talked in the last episode that you and I did together a lot about fatigue, right, and how that shows up and how that manifests itself. And while a lot of those points still stand, obviously, this is just a game later. It's not like they just magically are, like, not tired. You saw – LeBron had some of the ugliest misses he's had all year so far.
Bro, I know LeBron always talks about, like, I don't get tired.
I don't get tired.
The tape says otherwise, man.
Yeah.
He is tired. His I don't know what he's shooting from three. I'd have to look it up. But the last several games, mm-hmm. like, his drop 3-point percentage has dropped like a rock. You can tell his legs are dead, man.
He doesn't have explosion. The ball off his, like, back foot.
He had like 8 turnovers, right?
Yeah.
And obviously he's still going to be great and do LeBron things throughout that. But having this being the third year, right, that we're watching him on a game by game basis, he's exhausted right now, at least relative to other versions of LeBron I've seen.
And so, like, while I would, you know, while it's easy and probably in many cases right to just point to fatigue and say, like, that's what's going on, you also it kind of neglects some of the other things that the Lakers are doing to make life hard on themselves too.
For sure. It's not the only thing going on. It's going on, but it's not the only thing.
Probably the biggest thing, but yeah, I mean, when you have adversity presented to you, you can't go out and make life more difficult on yourself beyond that adversity. Right. It's, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, for us here, over the last, like, week or so, or during that last week when you know, we were having power shortages and it was freezing outside and all those things, that's the adversity presented to us. And by the time we got to the end of that week, we were exhausted. But I also wasn't going out there and running a marathon when I should be in charge of Avery, right? Like, I'm not going to go out and make life more difficult on myself. Then actually, that's kind of where I wanted to start this, and we'll talk about this, and then we'll take it to the end of this segment, and maybe a little into the second segment. But I've been really kind of perturbed, you know, annoyed by what we've seen from the coaching standpoint of this. Right, when players are exhausted, it kind of does fall a little bit more on the coach's shoulders to make life easier on those players. And one of the things that I keep noticing from them is, you know, matchups, the Robin Lopez's, the Alex Len, the few Alex Len minutes that they had out there. When they had, like, big bigs out there, you had Montrezl Harrell out there. And then at the end of the game, when the big is, like, is Rui Hachimura or whatever, and the Lakers clearly needed a shot in the arm in terms of energy, Montrezl Harrell sees no minutes down the stretch of the game. And again, like, you know, this is nitpicking, and it's a small decision over the course of a season. And for the most part, I've been really impressed by what I've seen from Frank Vogel. But this stretch, while the Lakers have been, you know, that 4-5, or they've lost 4 out of their last 5 games, I haven't seen enough from the coaching staff in terms of being able to do their part to help lift the team just a little bit to get through all this.
Yeah, I thought that this is a period of the season where the adjustments. So, you know, we know that Vogel's approach is normally a long game approach, right? Where we're going to stick with what we do and get better at it and go through the good times and the bad times. But when both AD and Schroeder are out, what you normally do is no longer applicable. This is the combination of that with the fatigue is there's just no shot creation. And you watch the, like, this was a game that we needed to win in a shootout, and different games have different personalities. And like, Beal was hitting ridiculous shots and Westbrook had it going. And Westbrook's like a tough matchup for Caruso. Caruso doesn't defend him particularly well. Neither does Kuz. And so with both of their guards having it going, we needed the ability to score. We needed somebody else other than LeBron to be able to create offense. And Trez had a good night on the offensive end, right? And I think Trez is, with Schroeder and AD out and nobody except for an exhausted LeBron able to create a shot, Trez becomes the second best guy on the team at getting their own bucket, right? Like, this whole, that's exactly what we miss out of AD and Schroeder, is that ability to generate individual offense. And so I think it's especially important to get Trez more minutes in these times, right? Especially because the argument, so, right, Lopez is one of those big guys that Trez struggles with, right? I would argue, though, that part of the reason why their guards were playing as well as they were is because they were attacking Mark, right? Like, if Mark were a lockdown defensive option in these circumstances where, like, okay, you know, you're not going to get the offense, but you know that he's going to really bring a lot on the defensive end. Mark's an excellent defender when the matchup is appropriate. And this didn't seem to me like one of those more appropriate matchups. And today I thought that the deficit of Trez versus Lopez down the stretch, I think it would have been worth it to get some of Trez's offense on the floor, because we really needed somebody other than LeBron who could get his own.
It was not the one that he fouled out on, but the fifth foul that he picked up where Beal drove into him and Mark tried to go vertical, and you know, they just they called a foul on the body on Mark, and he was kind of standing there leaning against the stanchion, and you could just see it in his eyes, man. I'm freaking exhausted. Like, he signed up for 22 minutes a night or whatever, and in this one goes for 27, and by the time, you know, they got to the overtime, and by the time they got late in the fourth quarter, Westbrook and Beal didn't see anybody there. They didn't see anybody at the rim, basically, that was ever going to deter them from driving there. And you can just kind of see it in Gasol's eyes. And we talked last time about how the Lakers guards, as tired as they are, it's going to be even more difficult for them to stay in front than it normally is. And it's just what it leads to is, like, you got to be really good on one side of the ball. And tonight with Mark in there instead of Trez, they weren't really good on either side of the ball. It was just kind of middling to bad on defense and then middling to bad on offense too.
Yeah, it was, we started out so strongly too. But yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, let's give me Trez's offense and that ability to get that. And the thing that I'm concerned about is this idea of the level of fatigue that we have and just kind of trying to plow through it. The All-Star break will be nice for sure, and everybody that'll be restorative, but it's not that long, right? Where I'm concerned if we don't go deeper into our bench as well in these stretches, or give guys an off day. Like, I know LeBron doesn't want an off day and doesn't believe in that, but man, it sure looks like he could use one. Those
definitely
types of things.
Shouldn't be playing 43 minutes.
Right.
And like, even if it isn't an off day, like, can they get McKinney in there for like 10 of those minutes and have that 43 minute game turn into a 33 minute game?
Yeah. My concern is, like, when do our legs come back? Right. Like, how is that being managed? And I'm hoping that, you know, we are able to access that, but I'm seeing a team, you know, for much of the beginning of the season that was focused in here and there, right, and struggling with that. But in the recent stretches, especially with just the, all of that, the shot creation in particular, and Schroeder's obviously, AD is the best defensive player in the world. Schroeder's a great perimeter defender. We just went up. I think we're taking a gamble in our legs coming back if we continue this approach, but we'll see.
Yeah. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about LeBron's minutes because it's been a topic that I have avoided for the most part because I do just kind of defer judgment to him. He knows his body better than just about any other athlete in the history of sports. But all of this bluster about how I don't get tired. My dude, you're tired. And so I want to talk about his minutes here in a bit. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So LeBron goes for 43 minutes in this one. This is at least, I'd say, four or five games so far this year where he's played 40 or more minutes. There are only two players in the NBA who have played more minutes than LeBron this year. That is Julius Randle, shouts to Tibbs, and Fred VanVleet. And, you know, LeBron has at least, I think, 10 years on both of those guys, probably in terms of age. and maybe even in terms of, like, minutes. 10 years worth of NBA minutes on both of those players. And look, you and I can both see it. He looks tired. And my concern is two-part here. One, the long game, where, like you're talking about in the first segment, when can they get their legs back if this is as hard as they're pushing him right now? And then two, obviously, as you build up that fatigue and as you get gradually more and more tired, that's when your body does start to, you tweak things a little bit easier. You pull things a little bit easier. And even if he says he isn't tired, and even as the Lakers will fully entrust his body to him, at some point, somebody's got to step in here and protect the athlete from himself. And 43 minutes on a Monday night against the Washington Wizards, like, I'm sorry, even had the Lakers won this game, I just don't think there's a net positive in there winning this game if it costs you 43 minutes of LeBron James. And I think that's something that the Lakers are probably going to have to look at for the next five games, I would say.
So I have no rational counterargument to that. The only point that I will make is that LeBron is as good as anyone has ever been at managing his body.
Absolutely.
So that's the only thing, right? Like, 'cause everything, I'm nodding along to what you're saying, and everything, I agree. right?
That's where I sit. Like that's where I've sat for much of the season. But we also haven't seen him look this tired.
Right. We also know significantly less about what goes into this and what helps, what hurts, mm-hmm. what doesn't make a difference than he does. But that's really my only counterpoint, right? Is that this is somebody who's done this many, many times to a level of success that nobody else ever has in terms of preserving his body over a long period of time and being ready to turn it on in the playoffs, right? I can't think of a year where LeBron was in the playoffs and it was like, he's just gassed. Now, Father Time is still undefeated, as they say, right?
Yeah.
So that could happen in a year now. And maybe this is a year, maybe that happens down the line. I don't think so, but I'm seeing the same things that you're seeing with that, right? And then on paper, it just makes sense, right? That he could use
8 turnovers tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so many of the turnovers were fatigue turnovers. Absolutely. Like the type of turnovers that players make when they're fatigued is like they don't get as low on their passes. You mm-hmm. don't, it's just like you're a little lazier with every little intricacy, and the NBA is so such high level basketball that pocket pass that you want to make with your knees locked and standing up straight, that's going to be a turnover. When if you're actually engaged, you got a little, you're in an athletic position, you got your knees bent, you've at a better passing angle to get it through those hands in that pocket, right? It's just those little things like that, or just that mental decision that like, oh, I'm gonna throw it a little bit while I'm leaning, you know, not mm-hmm. square up and use good fundamentals, all that. Those are the types of things that players do when they're tired. And yeah, man, those 8 turnovers tonight, especially, and you can see it on the jumper too. Like you said, like some bad misses, all of it are telling the same story.
Well, cause to start this year, this was the cleanest his shot has looked to me. I had never seen LeBron's jumper look, cause his jumper has never been, you know, a textbook jumper, right? He leans a little bit to his off to his left, right? His elbow isn't exactly in line with the right side of his body. There are things that about his jumper that, you know, he doesn't exactly have a Klay Thompson or a JJ right. Redick type jumper, right? But to start this year, when he was shooting 40-ish% from 3-point range, which I believe that's dropped now significantly over the last stretch. But when earlier this year, when he had his legs under him and when he had more time to shoot, which I think is another factor here, he has significantly less time to shoot because defenses can key in on him a lot more than they were to start the season. You know, his jumper has gone back to some of those bad habits that stopped him from being a 40% 3-point shooter. And you combine that with the fatigue, and you combine that with, like, the shot, the literal jolting of rhythm, the rhythmic jolt that you get from having X amount of time to start the season to now having a fraction of that because defenses are more keyed in on you. Like, all of those things are going to make you a significantly worse shooter. So that's where it's showing up. We talked about the turnovers, and you know, defensively, like the Avdija, I think is how you pronounce his name. The three that he Denny. Knocked down. Yeah, Denny. That was LeBron's guy, right?
There were a few of those in this game. Yeah.
and so it's showing up on both sides of the court. And look, on one hand, it's like the criticism here is, hey, LeBron, please don't care so much that you break yourself early on in the season. That's the literal concern that I'm sharing right now. But, you know, and like you said, we kind of just have to trust this guy. He has more than earned, exponentially more than earned, the benefit of the doubt on this one. But when it shows up this apparent, right, and it's such clear examples of this, and the numbers are still at such an astonishing rate, right? When he's playing 43 minutes in on a Monday night game against the Washington Wizards, that's where I say, man, because a lot of the stuff that we say, by the way, about LeBron's body, we were saying about Kobe's body when that year before he blew his Achilles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly there. It feels. I don't want to put that out there, but I do see where you're going with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, knock on wood, and obviously I hope like hell I'm wrong. And I'm not even saying that that's the, you know, inevitable end game here.
Just like the over-dependence on a very tired
player. And we said all the same, like Kobe was hyper aware of his body Kobe was just as militant about keeping up his body as LeBron has been for the entirety of his career. So like a lot of the same things where we're talking about, like, hey, we can't question Kobe's instincts and his understanding of his own body. Well, we saw that. We saw how that played out when you reach a certain point of your career, you know, and we're you know, I don't want to, that would just be absolutely brutal to see here with LeBron.
Can I read you a quote real quick from the post-game show? Yes. Robert Horry said, I'd tell LeBron the plane to Utah is leaving at 3 p.m., but actually leave at 1 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Like, leave him behind, get him. So that's interesting to me that aside from you and I talking about this former player who not just now Robert Horry never carried the offensive load that LeBron James had,
champion,
but he had a lot of those really deep runs into the playoffs. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he knows what this looks like. And I'm, you know, him echoing what you and I are saying, I think is notable.
Yep. All right. Let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, what these next five games might look like. And I know we can't talk about, you know, we have to be kind of careful about other players from other teams and acquisitions and stuff like that. But I do think the Lakers ran into the type of player that if they did make a midseason acquisition, I would like to see them kind of look at in a player like Robin Lopez was kind of the line of thought here. So I want to talk a little bit of all of that and get you guys out of here. And before I play 43 minutes on a Monday night in against the Washington Wizards. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Right now, you can hear Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. Subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's show is also brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Today's bet of the day. So I'm looking around here. You have Atlanta at Cleveland, Detroit at Orlando, Sacramento at Brooklyn, and Minnesota at Milwaukee. Milwaukee is giving up 11 points at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And actually, this is one that I'm kind of interested in. Minnesota just fired their coach, and sometimes you get a bit of a bump there in terms of energy and focus and all of that. And it might not matter because Minnesota just kind of sucks as a roster. But I think that might be enough to get them, make them able to cover against a Bucks team that has been someone up and down this season at times. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and put a couple doll hairs down on Minnesota covering the 11-point spread, albeit in Milwaukee. And whether you choose to fade or follow me, do so at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Just please gamble responsibly. So a ton of questions coming in lately from, you know, mailbags have been about, you know, because of Anthony Davis's absence, like what kind of players should the Lakers look at? Should they, you know, decisions that they should maybe make with guys on their roster? I'm not going to go so far as to ask you to touch any of that with specific names or anything like that. But I do think in terms of the type of player that the Lakers could really use, like a veteran big who would understand his role would be kind of perfect for what the situation is calling for right now.
It would. I would also argue that we shouldn't be making transactions based off of what's going to be happening with Anthony Davis out of the lineup for 4 weeks, right? Like, could we use a big right now? Of course we could use a big right now. But is that big? The thing about acquiring bigs, especially, is that come playoff time, can they defend the perimeter?
Mm-hmm.
Because you will not be able to play if that's the case, right? Like, for as, you know, we talk about JaVale, we talk about Dwight. Dwight was, first off, the Portland series, everybody played, right? But the higher level series, the last three series.
Well, you had to use everybody against the greatest eight seed of all time, Pete.
That's right. All hands on deck, right? So those last three series, though, Dwight was appropriate for one of those series. And JaVale was appropriate for none of them. And the common reason is the ability to defend the perimeter. And the game is fundamentally different in the playoffs than it is at this point of the season. We could use that type of player right now, and it would be extraordinarily helpful, right? But come playoff time, if that guy can't defend the perimeter, I don't think that it's like and now if there is a big out there that can fill that role and can switch out or hedge high or just all the things,
won't be available right now.
Probably not going to be available, right? But if there's a buyout or something like that, they certainly wouldn't be available now. It'd be closer to the buyout market. So I think that's the time to wait. We're hard capped. We've got one available roster spot. We need to make it count. And so I think that that decision comes down the line.
They could have two. They're going to have a decision.
That's
to
true.
Make on,
that's
on
true. Quinn Cook. With Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Now I here's the. I'm not disagreeing with you because I had somebody make that point because I just flat out said tonight that I thought Robin Lopez would be a perfect pickup for what the Lakers need right now. And the retort was the one that you made, basically, that he's not going to be able to play in the postseason. And here's my thing. We're looking at a team that is exhausted right now, right? And even if this is a situation-specific type acquisition that they would be making here, this situation does matter, and it is going to impact potentially, like, if LeBron is asked to play 43 minutes with the team potentially falling apart every second that he's not on the court because of what he can't do either offensively or defensively, then can you get somebody who not only might keep, he might not keep LeBron specifically any fresher, but could he help with Anthony Davis? Because Davis is going to come back, and that tendinosis, it's a chronic thing. Like, it's just something that you might have to deal with for the entirety of the season. Can Lopez go out there and bang with bigger bodies for and give you a few more minutes when you combine him and Marc Gasol, where both those guys are fresher by the end of the season? You know, both Anthony Davis and Marc Gasol might be fresher by the end of the year. So just a big body like that, I think, is something that the Lakers should probably look at. I have been all season on the bandwagon of what Quinn Cook brings, and we saw how important chemistry was last season, that so long as you can spare that roster spot going kind of to a guy who is specifically there to be a chemistry teammate, that's great. But I think we're nearing that point, if we haven't even already reached it, where they can't spare that extra roster spot for a chemistry guy, you know? And if you can open up a roster spot by waiving him, then I think that would be, because that way you can add the big that helps with you, helps with the situation right now, and then also allows you to open up a roster spot and add somebody later in the season too.
I guess I wouldn't spend a roster spot on somebody whose primary purpose is to help right now. Right. And even at the expense of Quinn, right. Like, and it's in with Quinn being a chemistry guy, right. It's just not important enough. If we need to save guys' legs, which again, I'm all on board on, Kaycock, McKinney, like, these are the types of guys that should be getting run. Right. And I don't think a roster spot is worth that, because those are the two potential places that Pelinka has to make alterations to this roster. The pool of players who are available is going to be much bigger when the buyouts start to happen in the first place. So my question is, like, we always talk about, like, athletic rim protector or big who can spell Anthony Davis. Well, that has to be a person, right? Like, that has to have a name attached to them. And at this point of the season, like, those guys by and large are signed. And if you wait until the buyouts start happening, you start getting better players. So if there's somebody available right now that really fit that description and was a free agent, like, that would get some run and that, you know, would have, I think there's a stronger argument for it. But right now, like, I just don't know who that person is. Whereas in a month or two with the buyout market, then that becomes a lot clearer.
One concern with the idea of the buyout market that, you know, and we'll see how it goes, but given the fact that they have expanded playoff rosters and given the fact that they have loosened lottery odds, right, to where more teams have higher chances of it, I'm a little nervous that teams either will wait longer to buy guys out or not do it at all and force teams to trade for those type of players who would normally be buyouts.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see what that looks like. We'll see what the market looks like. And you know, there are reports that the Lakers are already actively looking at trade potential, you know, potential trade targets and trading partners to see what they might be able to do to bolster some of this roster. I just, you know, it's tough because on one hand, it's a phenomenal roster when you have the guys that it is built to be able to optimize, right? This team is built to optimize LeBron James. It's built to optimize LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's just tough when you go from asking, you know, role players and more specialty type players to now be something that they aren't. And what you're seeing as a result is what we've seen from the Lakers these last five games.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Schroeder loss was really fatal, right? Because
breaking news here. Shams Charania is reporting that the Lakers are waiving Quinn Cook. Sources tell The Athletic and Stadium. Teams are expected to express interest in Cook, who has served as a reliable guard and locker room voice for two title teams in LA and Golden State.
Yeah, that was something that we would have to do before, I think the 23rd was the deadline on that, before his contract became guaranteed. So I don't know if we fill that spot right now. I'm curious to see if Pelinka, I would not. I think that you save both of those spots for the buyout market. Mm-hmm. Once guys, because again, the same point applies, is that there's nobody really available right now. But I forgot about that part where Quinn's contract became guaranteed, I think, on
tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow. And so
by the time you guys are listening to this.
Right. So interesting. Yeah, thanks for saying that. And so then back to how we're built around LeBron and AD, it was really losing Schroeder that it's a fatal blow when AD is out, just because of that shot. Like Schroeder, we saw in that first game, right? It was against Timberwolves, of course, but he had like 24 points. He's the natural next guy that's able to pick up the slack, mm-hmm, in terms of getting his own shot. He can push in transition. He can attack the basket, you know, with those great baseline drives and all of that. And so like watching Kuz try to create in ISO is now our second best option aside from Trez, right? In a lot of these lineups. And it's just like, we try it and it's like, these guys don't have those skills. That's not why. And so like the whole idea of being built around elite individual shot creation, we lost two of our three guys. We still got our best guy, but now it's almost like we're at a third string caliber. Other than LeBron, everybody else is third string or worse caliber shot creators, with the exception of Trez. And like, it's going to be like that until Dennis gets back on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I might wind up recording a special episode or a special segment just to kind of go through what the Lakers' options here right now. There's a lot of people basically saying that the Lakers waiving Cook right now means that they're going to go out and get somebody. So like DeMarcus Cousins is a name that a lot of people are throwing out on there on Twitter right now. And I don't really see it that way. I just think like they literally had to make this decision when they made it. They waited as long as they possibly could to make this decision, and it now frees up the ability to potentially go out there. And if they do choose to use it right now, then so be it. But like you said a second ago, Pete, like there aren't very many guys. It's like Powell, it's DeMarcus, it's guys who don't necessarily help in the ways that the Lakers need to be helped right now. You know, so you know, yeah, I love Powell. I was always hoping that Boogie might, you know, show one more season of not being completely washed, but they're both older. And when we say, hey, the Lakers need an athletic rim protector, neither of those guys are either of those things.
Right. And as I was saying as well, like the ability to defend the perimeter.
Yeah.
Right? Can you do that? And anybody we talk about, right. Yeah, they gotta be able to do that.
All right, we'll see where the Lakers go in regards to whatever move comes next. I do want to say shouts to Quinn Cook for being a really good Laker. I've enjoyed,
hell yeah,
you know, just kind of paying attention to him. one of those dudes that you could just tell legitimately loved being a Laker, right? And it's a concept that I used to kind of mock, right? When the Lakers had Kobe and they were really bad, they would say, well, before they would acquire anybody, well, does he know how to be a Laker, what it means to be a Laker? I would kind of mock the concept a little bit, but this guy talked about, you know, his Lakers fandom roots and what, you know, how it felt to win a championship with his favorite team growing up. We saw the impact that Kobe's death had on him. You know, he was, you know, and he kind of stood in as a de facto representation of the Lakers fan base on the roster.
Great way to
say
it.
That was going on. So, you know, I have nothing but the best things to say about the guy. Wish him all the best. Hope he lands on a good team and gets more of an opportunity than he was ever going to get with this Lakers team.
Yeah, he's Lakers family, right? Lakers.
Yeah.
Question that. Like, Quinn is part of the Lakers family no matter what happens.
Absolutely. All right. As we get more breaking news, I will break that down for you. But until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And for the love of God, Lakers, please stop sending us overtime.